Welcome to Melting Titanium number 56, recorded on May 4th, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 6.01 p.m. Hawaii time.
All the news that is news across the non-physical nation.
You got it. That's what it is. We're back. We're ready to pursue the event, inevitable events for inevitable fate. That's not inevitable fate, inevitable fate.
Yes, indeed. And so now let's just start off with a little bit of fun.
I had a dream about you, baby. I had a dream, it's gonna come true. They think that we're through, but baby, you'll be swell.
Remind everybody,
of course, and
wanted to know how to do it, and we told them how to do it from pitch to scratch.
Wow, I don't even know how to do that.
Well, you should look at you. You got a blog.
I know. I got to start reading my own blog.
Yeah, it was dirty. Well, so just so everybody can feel it, just sort of clear their mind, clear their thoughts, and then they'll, after a little bit, when they settle into that, they'll get a static. Now, we set this way so they'd know. Now, staticky would be contrast. But if you've never done this before, it might be easier to start with a little bit of static rather than full-blown somebody's in my head business, you see.
And static is what they would hear, you're saying?
Yeah. It's kind of like the applause at the end of Everything's Coming Up Roses. They're going to report back to the blog of how their interaction, and if it doesn't come up roses, somebody would be very surprised, wouldn't they?
If it doesn't come up, their experience of this attempt doesn't have roses, they're going to be surprised?
They'll post things that they got Ethel Merman or something.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And that staticky applause at the end that seemed long is enough static to set those vibrations into cue. Notice how clear it was on your recording.
Did you make it clearer?
We most certainly did, because there's no rules about us engaging with the chip body.
Right.
And telephones is as chipped as they get, so hey, might as well. And it sort of dressed it up a little bit. Now, in this process, then the next thing they do is they start focusing. When they start hearing the active static, they may hear a word or a broken sentence or a phrase. May not be complete, but just a thought or something obscure that they would go, where'd that come from? Then after they get comfortable with these words kind of coming in and out in this resonance of their extra sensory perception. See, the problem is you named it extra. So extra means that it's an anomaly. It's odd. It's unusual. We ought to just call it the sensory perception show, because then everybody can do it, because there wouldn't be a rule against it. But that's okay. Some of them like to validate how special they are. And we think that's wonderful. If it's what it takes to get you there, hey, whatever brings out the orgasm, we're all about. And there's your picture, an orgasm. Then you roll along a little further, and you start having a collective
effect.
No, just collective, that's the word you'll be listening for, collect.
Oh, okay.
What we're going to do in this particular show, Bob, if it's all right with you, is we're going to give lots of different points of aspects that they could have synced to.
Right.
And once they start syncing to aspects, then some of those different parts at whatever level they decide or can embrace, once they get to that place, then they can have a thought, a sentence that they think to engage, and we thoroughly promised that we would pick them up and share them for this recording.
So what you're doing, what we do to our general audience is pick up stuff. You're sort of giving the Dupes audience, the members of Dupes, a special attention.
Of course, because they are special, Bob.
They know me. You've interacted with me.
And most of them will live for the delivery of that. So.
The delivery of that? What's that mean?
Yeah, to be delivered from.
Oh, yeah, the delivery of. Yes, okay, yes.
From
Bob. They're robots of that already.
Yes, I know. And important. We're not far behind you, Bob.
They don't have my back on this point.
They cut the cross. You can either be the savior between two thieves, or you can be a thief on either side of the way. So therefore, another word will be Golgotha. Golgotha. Now, if they start thinking of Golgotha, something's going to know that they engaged. Because who in the world would think of roses and then Golgotha pretty much in the same paragraph?
And collective and orgasm and
aspect.
Aspect is another word?
Yes. There's going to be lots, so if you sort of play with them, it'll just become a way that the creators can have. Basically, it's kind of like a progress report. Sometimes human creators like an interaction so they can say, oh, yeah, I did get that. Oh, that's not too hard. All I did was it easy. All I did was think of something, and then it was. Or, oh, in my life I wanted something, and then the solution showed up. That's all this is about.
Is that an outer kingdom aspect that people want validated?
Maybe. We're going to get rid of validated. That is going away soon enough, because it just doesn't get you anywhere. If it's got to be validated, then if that means it's got to be by default.
But they want to interact in a more public interaction with someone. That's the outer kingdom.
Yes, but see, it's a middle kingdom if you're able to do it. You won't even discuss it. You'll just do it.
Well, I want to find more out about the forum, in a sense, why ION is so active in it.
Because we didn't have any pushing against us participating in it. We weren't demanded or forced to answer. We felt welcomed in the engagement of this wonderful, delicious thing. Well, actually, this afterthought that Bob came up with after having conversation with a couple of girls, that it became great fun, and then it took off. And now you start looking, you have many of the threads with 300, 400, 500, 600 hits.
Really?
Amazing. People reading them.
But if there's only 40 people on, that means people are going back every day.
Adding, exactly, but see, because it keeps flowing, and if there's a topical thread that's intriguing, then, wow, they just gobble it up, and then they go back and check and see what's going on. So any one of those threads, you were talking about Bob's blog being a book, well, if you keep going, each thread could become a book. If you're careful. Now, some of them are just hit and runs, you know, a little bit here and there, but then there's voluminous things on occasion. It's very, very fun. And that's because the human creators are coming into their own place of power, which always increases, expands their universe. So, therefore, it's not odd for us, the little non-physical, to be able to respond to everyone, many of them at the exact same moment in your recorded blog, and you start matching up thread to thread to thread. There's many times that we'll answer two and three at the exact same moment within the same minute. And that's because there's no rules regarding it.
The way the blog is developing, is that an expression of the lifting of the veil?
It's already been rent. It's thinning. That thinning of the veil, the power that's being released, human creators are picking up on it, mostly because we told them and 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 told them. But that's okay. There's no harm in reminding someone of their power. That's perfectly delicious. Then they even have questions regarding it. And then if you listen, if you listen, you'll start having a noticeable change in the degree of questions. They don't go back to, well, what are you, ION? They don't go to, are there parallel worlds? Now they're finding out how to do it. And the difference between astral projection and clairaudience. They're not asking, is that? They're saying, how do they engage it? See, it keeps going into the same process. Not asking, well, what is this thing sitting out here with two wheels on it and handlebars and a little bell that goes ring, ring? They know it's a bicycle, then they want to know where else they can ride it. It's a process of embracing the fuller power that they're starting to pick up on. And that's very, very delicious.
I assume that this group of people, as the anomalies start building up and they ask kind about them, that too. This group will be impervious to the earth changes.
Oh, absolutely. And it's pretty much kind of coming that way already. It's just like bam, 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 and it's becoming so normal that it's normal. The abnormal becomes normal. And that was set off by notice the anomalies. What's shining? What's more illuminated than something else? Give it your attention. If it's glowing in the dark, go pick it up. Rub it. Look at it. Lick it, whatever you want to do to it, to get all that there is, because for you, there's some reason why something would be more brightly illuminated than start engaging now, illuminated in lights, writing on their walls. Pam, this was for you, dear. We promised it would be made known and clear.
Every time you've talked about the wall, I keep thinking of the Queen Mother's wall.
That is a wall, yes it is.
So it's the wall that we can see our symbols on and walk through?
You may, or it may just be one of those great big white dry erase boards and on the wall where all kinds of information shows up. And you can have the different colored markers and they're bold on the white board. Well, these will be lights. The letters will be symbols. Sometimes pictures will be illuminated. Like sometimes you've seen those silver and fluorescent ink colored highlighters that kind of glow, I guess, as it were. It would be like you had a light pen writing things on the wall. Here at the wall.
Does each person have their own individual wall?
Of course. Actually, they have many walls. You have about 20 of your base stuff right there.
You're interspersing the walls of my house with making them into my own portals.
And where information is flowed.
Back and forth between worlds?
Just on the wall, Carolyn. Now, you gave the imagery of it being the Queen Mother wall, and she did that, and then she walked through. And we agreed, for you, that's correct, but not necessarily for everyone. It may be a way they get their primer. Remember Little House on the Prairie when the teacher would write the reading, writing, arithmetic on the blackboard? That wasn't a portal. That was a way to communicate. And it synchronized the students, but they had grades kindergarten through 12th grade in the same room because there wasn't a dozen kids in the whole school. So different levels got it at different levels. This is that way. Everyone has their own blackboard and informational flow. Granted, yes, they'll draw a great big circle and walk through it if they like, but if that's foreign to them or outside of their dichotomy at the moment, doesn't mean ever, just means right now, and then all of a sudden it'll get up there and it'll be one word and it'll say screwed, or get over your damn self, or ease up, or get happy, or gaga, or Lucifer, or some other nebulous nastiness that will bring you disdain, almost to the point that they'll come back to us and say, this bad word came on my wall, and I have washed it, I've painted it, I've done everything I could, and it just will not go away, kind of thing. Because that's the way this has to flow. This mind that you're overcoming the labyrinth thereof, once you open it, you can't imagine. And fasten your seatbelt, because bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, here she blows.
Would it be an interesting exercise to get one of these whiteboards and just leave it there and see what shows up?
No. You don't have to. It'll be on your regular wall. Look up, straight ahead, that wall. That one will do. And then the next thing you know, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, there's something on the wall. And then, of course, you freak out because Bob Coos would go nuts on the wall if it wasn't straight. No, my Lord suffering cat. And then it'll be like, well, Bob, clean it up, straighten it up. And then I guess, and then he does it, and then it comes back. And then it's kind of like, wow, this is getting fun. Then he'll be ready to move because he thinks the spookers are moving him out, but he won't notice it. He'll just say, nah, we've got no writing on the wall here at the wall. The wall business starts to now take on a very new fun twist, does it not? We had to wait until you all were in the notion, the motion of the ocean without any means of lotion to sort of soothe this into place. You'll hear much, much, much more because you know when a dynamic begins, then the human creators get at it and want to squeeze the lemon and or pick it out for themselves. Once that happens, then it becomes refreshing rather than dogmatic. Because what we ain't having this reverend business, this church, dogma business. Now, we love you all, but we ain't having it. That's good enough, because that's the last thing you need is another organized thing to tell you how you're less than. So your next image is a butterfly, a black
twice. And I said maybe they don't like the bog. Is that true?
No. The only reason they're there at all is because you summoned them.
It's true. I haven't been paying much attention to them lately.
There you go. So they aren't drawn without attention. And then now also the way the flowers bloom that they love to play with and play on, they kind of come and go as well because they don't have a full season all the time. So it's a cyclical cycle. A bi-cyclical cycle.
I put a bamboo plant with 8 shoots on it in this planter on our lanai. Ayana told me about that, you know, months ago to sort of stop the sort of quick flow of things in and out of the house. Is
yeah.
that an appropriate plant?
Well, of course it's fine. And also, if you go, when next time you go to the market, when they have those lantanas, pick up one or two of those. The butterflies just adore those, and they bloom all year round. And they'll draw all those different colored ones. The red ones and the other genus species of butterflies, not just the monarchs, it'll draw others. You know, the ones with the small wings that are so brightly colored, the blues and all those different colors.
I mainly see monarchs and a few yellow ones. It'd be nice to see some variety.
That's why I would say get some lantanas so you can enjoy that. Good. You must have noticed the writing on the wall.
So writing on the wall, you can actually visualize it, or it can be part of your intuitive picking up?
Yes, yes. No rules. And some people don't have to have it in black, you know, pitch black tar that you can't get off the wall. But then they'll have something to grumble and bitch about that this, you know, they've been molested by non-physical, which we just think is hysterical, of course. But that's fun because they won't know when to stop. They don't have to know when to stop. That's the point. If you don't stop, you overlay it with something new and more fun. Then you don't get to a place where, you know, you screwed yourself right out of eternity.
Okay, we've got to move it forward a bit.
Basically, what's happening, the Pacific Basin is coming up, pointing in Hawaii, getting bigger. And the other ends of that basin, which would be the Asia, Indonesia, you know, side to California side, are starting to feel those bamifications.
What does that mean?
Bam! Poopifications. Poopifications, guys.
Hawaii, we're rising up a bit with all this shifting, is that what you said?
That is what we said.
Wow.
Well, you know this. Well, you kind of know it, but when you look in your lucky box, they all know that you are rising in the sea level. You've gone up 2 inches since you moved there.
So that's either that we're forming more land mass or the ocean is lowering.
No, it means you're rising toward the heavens.
Right.
And that doesn't make you taller. Land mass makes you wider. And it ain't coming from the top of Haleakalakalakala, although that is blowing, but it's the point of it's increasing from pressure.
Yeah.
And it gets larger, 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 larger. Top down, but from the bottom up.
The Gulf of Mexico oil spill business. You talked about it going up the Mississippi at one point. So how is that happening? Is it just spilling right across the Panama Canal or something?
No. It's in the Gulf of Mexico. So it would be very close to the Mississippi River.
Oh, it's in the Gulf of Mexico. Oh.
In the middle of it, or 60 miles out. And it's now hitting the coast. It should just wipe out the west coast of Florida, but that's going to be completely safe, none at all. On the other side, the Atlantic side, that's where all the real nasty is going to come from. Because you got to realize this is a pipe, a large pipe of oil. They've been better off to let the fire burn until they had a program in place to catch the oil. But instead, they decided to blow it out, and now this huge, massive oil be a huge, huge miss.
So what caused the break in the height, if it was a break?
Well, it wasn't a break. It was an explosion. The whole rig burned, melted it. And then once it was driven, it was pumping out. Well, once it burned, then the oil continued to flow. They'd already tapped it. It was already flowing. Remember in Texas, you see it on the movies, when they strike oil and it blows up in the air? That's what's happening except it's in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico.
And they can't tap it off?
Well, it's only 5 miles deep in the water.
Oh, my gosh.
They're actually discussing thermonuclear devices to blow it out.
How did they get 5 miles down to drill? Is that possible?
Sure. Those rigs are fast. They just round and round and round and round and round. And
didn't they know that it contained it, or was it contained and then it exploded by accident?
Well, 20 hours before the crash, the blow, Halliburton was commissioned to do a huge cement pour. Some say the curing of that cement had a very integral part of it. And then others are saying the North Koreans sent a submarine, and torpedoed it.
What did Ion say about that?
We say, good Lord, suffering cats. What they do, take a submarine through the Panama Canal, or they went around the tip of South America to get to it, into the Gulf of Mexico to shoot an oil rig owned by BP for Pete's sake, and they passed 100 rigs to get to that one, so not so much.
So what caused the explosion?
A breakage of the pipe and the curing of the cement, the heat exchange, because you know when cement cures, it makes a lot of heat. They let some of the safety issues ride a bit, the equivalent of letting logs not be filled out. And then with these anomalies that were going on with the improvements, because the rig obviously was in need of a bit of updating, and they had started that process, you see. But then as that went along, a pipe broke, cement curing completely, and then there she burns.
When you look at the intricacy of what they have to do in these rigs, it's kind of surprising that they don't have more accidents.
That's what everyone in that geographic area is saying. They had one in 40 years, and it's, you know, been almost a non-issue.
But it sounds like it's going to do some pretty major damage.
Of course. That's why everybody is so tickled to death to have all their oil come from OPEC and from the fiat world, because if it blows over there, who cares? We want all the energy, but we don't want the nuclear power plant in our backyard just because of this.
What was the process of human creators creating this? Was it for a validation?
Apparently.
It doesn't sound like it was a planned attack or anything.
No. Well, planned other than just the dynamic of contrast, yes.
Is there anything else blowing and spewing that we would like to know about?
You got a new pretty big one coming to Los Angeles.
An earthquake?
Yes. It's rumbling, but it's going to shake.
I guess it's about time. It's been a while.
Well, they've had several lately. And they had an aftershock with only cash flow last week.
Apparently in Arizona, there's some movement to put everyone on identity cards.
Yes. But no. What they're trying to do is they passed a law saying that local law enforcement was going to take on the job of immigration. That's what it's about. You got to have your papers in order, because now if you're Mexican and you're in Arizona and you don't have your ID, that means you're illegal and out.
Apparently there's a huge uprising about this.
Yeah, because everything will be racial profiling. Because if you got somebody from Norway living in Arizona, you're not going to question their naturalized citizenship one way or the other. It's why the U.S. has no problems with Canadians. bothered anybody, but past that, they can walk across the border and who cares? No problem. But you let someone from a Mexican descent, and then all of a sudden it's an abomination, oh, pardon the pun, before God.
Do you see that type of racial tension spewing out in other states?
Sure. Death in California, they are tickled to death for their illegal workforce, because who do you think picks all them avocados?
Apparently there was some movie or documentary, A Day Without Mexicans, and it just showed how the whole country was crying to a halt.
Yeah, it's sort of like the Grapes of Wrath, isn't it?
Remember what the heck that was about.
Remember what the farmers and the people would travel, the fields, and they'd end in the little things, and he's killing people, and it was all over, and if they didn't pick it, it would be ruined, and they didn't get no money checks, and makes you hungry.
Well, what if we just made Mexico another state?
Well, it certainly would help the economy. They're talking about the American, Mexican and Canadian and American.
Is that a possibility?
George Herbert said that was the New World Order.
Right.
That's old school, see? That's where the Illuminati was going to take over. And the,
right. But, is it possible that we're going to get pushed into it now?
Honey, pushed ain't quite the word. You'll be begging for it. It's a race.
Exactly.
Please bring it now, kind of business.
Is that a possibility?
Of course it's a possibility.
So we'll get all the drug lords and everything?
No, at that point, honey, you'll have it all, it'll all be made legal.
Okay.
And they can tax it. There won't be any illegal substances. Because you realize to make it all legal, you just put them all out of business?
They've known that forever. In Europe, how's it going with the euro and the European Union?
They still have not worked out Greece's problem. And if they file for Chapter 9, well, no, they don't even have a chapter. It's not even been discussed over there. There's no such thing.
Uh-huh.
But if they default on their bonds, then the European Union can't stand the fall. Okay? Now, United Arab Emirates Flight 202, which left out of New York, and guess what gate?
22.
Very good. That's how they caught the New York Unabomber. Oh, wait, was he a Unabomber? He was a Duaner salesman. It was going to blow up Times Square. They caught him.
What's how they caught the Unabomber?
Because of Bob's charm.
He was 22,
gate 22 and flight 202. They were backing out, flying to Dubai, so he could slip back into Pakistan. And they called it in because they kept seeing the 22. So they called the tower and said, bring that plane back in right now. And they did and caught him. And he wasn't on the list. He was a naturalized United States American citizen. No problem. But the 22 tipped him off.
Good.
They bring the plane back, and then they got him and drug him out.
In my chart, New York is in the 22 section.
Right.
What's the flight got to do with him? Was he on the flight?
Yes, and the plane was backing out to take off for Dubai.
And it started flying, or didn't get off the railway?
Didn't quite. Okay. It got backed up and got in the rail.
So how did they know it was him,
Because of 22, Bob.
No.
Nah. That's what it was.
Well, why would 22 be a factor?
Because it's in your chart.
Okay, if you're going to be
convincing, be you, Bob. We're not being facetious.
So my chart runs the world.
Listen to you for 37 seconds, and how could you come to any other conclusion?
Well, I think you misinterpreted it. That's a particular event. Did they find a bomb in Times Square?
A car filled with fertilizer with a bomb, and he got the wrong fertilizer, so it didn't blow up. But it would have blown up Times Square.
Why?
Our bomb.
Why is he so incompetent?
Well, he just messed up on the fertilizer, that's all.
Then he thought it would blow up, and then he got on the plane to take off. And how did they find him on the plane?
They lost him. He wasn't on any list. Something told them to check. Then the 22 for them kept showing up. And so they called that particular flight, checking the man.
How did the 22 show up before you get to the flight numbers?
They watch everything, Bob. They were on super surveillance, and they lost him. But when they found who it was with registration at his house, they found registration of his car. Well, then they traced his car, and they found it at the airport. Well, when they found his car at the airport, they checked the manifest, and it came up 22, 22, 22. So they said, okay, one flight left at gate 22, and it was United Arab Emirates flight 202. So they said, oh, my God, that's the connection. So they pulled the plane back to gate 22 and pulled him off the plane.
So they found some ticket of his?
They found his car.
How did that leak 22?
They checked the registration of this man's name on any flight. He paid cash for his ticket.
And how did he get the 22, 22, 22? Where did that come up?
That's what was coming up on the manifest of flights leaving. He just kept repeating 22.
Okay, we're not sure what that means.
They pulled up the flight itineraries, and every flight showed that it was leaving from gate 22.
Every flight
showed, that's not what was happening, but every flight that was scheduled that left that day, supposedly, according to their computer, that it left from gate 22.
All
1,430 flights.
They all were going from gate 22.
Exactly.
So what did they think then?
Well, they said, well, something's going on. It's 22. Something's whacked. Screwed up. So then they looked, and this person was on flight 202 from gate 22.
Was this Edward Mead trying to tell everybody, or like Ion threw in the 22?
It's like a Dunham thing, Bob. It's like,
Oh, you, that's a phrase Ion says, Carol?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
It's a phrase I say.
The 22 showed up in all the gates. Why did that happen? Who made that happen?
Well, apparently, the bomber.
The bomber evoked it. So the ship body responded.
Apparently.
Apparently the ship, the landscape, pointed out the 22 by emphasizing it.
Mm-hmm. And then when they found his name on that flight, and then every plane was leaving from gate 22, he paid cash for his ticket, so they'd have to check the manifest of 1,400 flights. And that's a pretty big deal, going all over the world. Everything was 22. They said, wait a second, check the flight that's supposed to be leaving from gate 22, which was United Arab Emirates flight 202.
Right. Did anybody stop and think once the drama's over about why the 22 show up on our computer?
Still working it out.
Trying to figure it out.
Boy, did Langley have a great erection regarding it.
Langley, did you say?
Yes.
And so what apparently is the cause of it?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, they're looking for something. What's the range of options they're going to come up with that explains it?
Nothing. They won't prove, and they won't have proof. It'll just be they were lucky.
They were lucky, but what's Ion saying? Did something else? Was there another factor why 22 showed up?
Sure, apparently. If you know the law of time is crazy, you don't have any rules about it.
What rules did he have?
Apparently he wanted to get caught for what he supposedly was accused of doing. He was 4 minutes away from gone. Because if he ever took off, it was over.
Why?
Well, he would be landed in Dubai.
Well, they could have called the pilot and brought the plane back.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're going to get a United Arab Emirates flight.
Oh, it's an Arab airline.
United Arab Emirates flight 202, yeah. They don't care.
I saw him, a picture of him, I seen you sort of smiling, happy to be noticed.
Of course.
Who set him up? Who did this? What, did he do this on behalf of anybody?
Well, they have a website scheduled the day before it took place. That the Taliban in Pakistan set it up that Americans will die to arm well-fertilized vehicles. Well, that's not need mediums and psychics. They're banning it.
I know, but I just was wanting to have mediums, I guess, to help.
Don't require them. They're making their own. They don't need fictitious Philly shit. They make their stuff up as they go.
He did it all by himself.
All by himself, yeah.
It wasn't the CIA trying to get terrorists enough so that they could...
Oh, yeah, whatever. No, no, no. Time you wrangle down that mess, you won't know if you're going or coming. The individual human creator did every creation, the creator's reality, period.
Yeah, in that case.
Well, in every case.
The human creator?
Yeah.
Human creator, one singular creator did something.
Everything.
Always. I don't know what that has to do. We're asking about this phenomenon. This kid had no help. Did it all himself.
We didn't say that he didn't have any help.
See, it's always good to repeat the questions, Ken, when you find out new stuff.
Well, we didn't say he didn't have any help.
Yeah, you didn't. I don't know. You implied
well,
that...
Well, you don't ask questions, Bob. You just say statements.
I don't know. I mean, my method led to this. You would never
say...
Carolyn.
So he did it all by himself, right?
And he said something. We found out something. You have to throw ion off with different ways of saying it, and he gets mixed up.
He could just ask a question.
No, no, I asked if, I said, did he get any help? No. Then I asked the question again in a different way, made a statement, and you said, yes, he did. So who did he get help by?
The Taliban, Bob.
Oh, what did they do?
Financed it. Yeah. Promised him money and gave him the monies in advance to pull us off. Or try to.
Okay, so I was talking to Mark Stallman last night. He's had a reading with Ion. He came on one tailgate. He said that Ion wouldn't answer his question, so he didn't hang around. So he's a member of the Dupes of Hazard. He went on there, thought it was a bunch of nonsense, nothing there worth reading. So then I tried to point out to him, well, we got this Ion phenomenon going on. So I explained, you know, what Ion's doing and the YouTube and JW's home and all. And he said, well, obviously you're being hacked. Okay, we're being hacked. And Ion is a hacker, you know, pretending they're Ion. So he asked if I had an email from you, from JW, and I said, yeah. So I sent it to him. So you, Karen, you can find out the path the email took.
Mm-hmm.
This is last night. So he analyzed the path mm-hmm. of the thing, and it led to who is Privacy Protection Service in Bellevue, Washington. And who was suggesting that Dave Worster caused everything? Was that someone else or Ion? But anyways, you have this agency. Who is Privacy Protection Service Incorporated? Ion, you know, you look at all the letters after the pathway, return pathway. So you figure out where it's going and Google where the website. So there was something else, welcome something. So it came down, he said, something to do with this agency is involved. But there, the hacker is using Yahoo because it goes into Yahoo somehow, the Yahoo networks. And there's somebody who's imitating Ion and sending these emails all over the place based on Mark's analysis of the return path.
Oh, my God.
Looking for a reason.
You know, I encounter skepticism all the time, and he would laugh. The way you laugh at him saying that, he laughs at us, thinking that it's some spirit or ghost or something doing it. You know, never the twain will meet. He's got on the opposite side of the mirror. One of the servers it went through was website welcome.com. Can you give me a factual point that would refute his confidence that there's someone hacking us?
Ion is hacking himself.
I don't know. Help Mark. Give him a fact that he can't figure out. You stun him with a statement about certain things that he might consider. Now, I'm not saying we have to prove it to him, but it's just an exercise in how do you take someone who's pretty sure he's cracked the case. I thought, who is Privacy Protection? I thought, well, maybe that's someone who is protective services for JW. Bodyguards or something. But, Ion, have you ever heard of who is Privacy Protection Service?
No, we have not.
Has JW heard of them?
No, he has not.
And you haven't heard of website welcome.com?
No, we have not.
Why does...
I don't have any confidence in them, Bob.
You don't have any confidence in them?
In websites. We don't use them.
Mark is thinking the return path, you can't hide, you find out where it goes, and it goes back to this place in Bellevue, Washington. So, Ian, why did the electron show that information?
Well, if it came back to JW, then everyone would prove that JW was sending the emails, would they not?
Oh, so you made sure it went to somewhere else.
Well...
No, simply, that's what you said was...
That JW's in Bellevue, but...
Did you pick who was Privacy Protection Service? I mean, how did you... All right, so you just found this place far away from Georgia and put it in the return path.
Of course.
Right, so he thinks it's there.
That's good. That's not your job to undo that.
The thing is, it shows that it didn't come from JW, so the guy thinks we're being hacked by someone else.
Good. You're being hacked by non-physical, just like Carol said.
No, I know that. But in his terms, he can't conceive of that, and that's not our problem.
Neither can legend.
I'm trying to make an effort. Let's see if we can bridge his incomprehension.
Fine.
He tries to make me think. I'm going to try and make him think.
What are you going to make him think?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We just do it for the phatic reason. It's like doing the radio shows, you know. We just do it. So I'm asking you to come up with a reason.
We're not coming up with a reason.
Why not?
Because there's no reason to come up with it.
But, you know, the thinking he has, he says someone's hacking us. How do we show the illogic of that without citing?
You don't cite the ideology of it. You say fabulous. Whoever's hacking us is giving us fabulous, wonderful insights beyond normalcy. And that's great. Wonderful.
Okay, but he doesn't think there's any real insights. Now, granted that Mark's an idiot.
Well, but the reason for an idiot? An idiot is going to get it.
But I like to come up with a reason. How about for me? How could you prove this is not us being sent emails by someone?
It's our job to prove that.
No, okay, not prove it. What is a reason that it's not coming from somebody, from some human being?
Because we said it was from non-physical. That's the reason. Yeah. You can't come up with a reason while you're alive.
He thinks there's someone hacking us. Now, I could ask him, why would someone hack us?
You'd ask the question this way. If we are being hacked, why wouldn't they come up with more astute ideology if you think this is all tomfoolery?
No, Mark thinks it is. The hackers may not.
Well, I understand. Well, no, wait. So apparently the hackers are stupid as Mark, but if they're going to hack in and go to all this trouble, that they're going to give disinformation or silly woo-woo business, what's the functionality of that?
Well, he thinks the Gnostics run the world.
Well, then you better get your house in order, because then the agnostics may take over the Gnostics, and then you're pretty well fucked, aren't you?
Well, not me. I'm not involved.
Play with that Gnostic. What does Gnostic mean?
I don't know. He...
No, wait, now, you're on a good point. We can talk about this if you won't throw the baby out with the water.
Okay, Gnostic means it's a philosophy that regards the world as a fallen world.
Yes.
Forget it. It's not worth it. It's run by Lucifer, and you don't want to get involved. So you leave for another world.
That's not what Gnostic means. Gnostic points out that the substrata of the fall of man can be replaced with the gospel, or a Gnostic gospel that says the individual human creators can and are be God.
He thinks, you know, Ion is a very Gnostic entity or Gnostic philosophy. So you would include Gnosticism in your... You accept...
Absolutely.
So, yes, we are Gnostics.
Or we could flip it back around and say, well, you're just a sinner in the hands of an angry God, but he wouldn't have that either. So, you say you can get the Jonathan Edwards twist on it, too, and that doesn't work either. So, after a little while, nothing works. So, what does work if nothing works? Good.
So you made a point of showing that it didn't come from JW's email.
That's what he proved. Regardless of what it says, that's what it proved. Good.
Here's this point. It has JW's email. I deleted that, so he didn't know JW's email, but it says it's from JW's email. And then,
well, great.
But that doesn't mean anything. You want to look at the return path and see where it goes.
Exactly.
You go to Bellevue, exactly. Washington.
Exactly.
He probably knows that JW's in Georgia. See, that's why I said it ain't going to Georgia, so it's going somewhere else. That must be someone else who's hacking us.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way you could figure out why he thinks it's hacking? What's the logic he's making?
He's stupid. He said that already.
go into his mentality a bit. Why is he stupid? It's probably, and he's an intelligent person.
You said he was stupid.
That was a passing remark. What is the operation going on in his labyrinth?
That everything that is has to come from somewhere. And it has to be proven where the somewhere is. You have to be able to go to where the somewhere came from. You have to validate every dynamic that is, prove it by default. That's where the world gets a bit twisty, because lots of things you can't explain. Lots of things you can't work out. And then all of a sudden it's kind of like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't coming from Georgia. It's coming from Bellevue. Well, wait a minute. He's not in Bellevue, or is he? Well, then you realize you ask us, and we say, well, we're everywhere. So it's like, okay. So if he's proven that it's not coming from JW, that's good enough, because that separation is enough. Because if they are hacking, they're brilliant. Because you can't come up with the stuff we come up off the hook, off the hitch. You can't get there from there. They couldn't keep up even with the threads on your dupes of hazard. For that, they'd have to have a stack of 100 running wide open. If just to find the YouTubes, let alone find them, post them, and describe them, and then do three at the same time. So it's like okie dokie smoky.
What about the people? The other people out there, our regular people, what do they think of what happened tonight?
Oh, they think it's been incredibly, as always. They had a much purer flow. We juiced it up just a little bit so that the consistency of them being able to pick it up was a little clearer.
You're talking about the people in Tierra del Fuego in Japan that listen?
Everybody, yeah.
You created an environment so they could pick it up?
We juiced up the frequency a bit. If they're already easy with the concept of sensory perception, we juiced it up so they would basically be closer to the radio tower, so it would come in clearer on their receiver. We don't do that always, but we did tonight so more people could engage.
Why did you do that?
Because, well, you have your blog that was interested in figuring out how to do it, so
you helped
slow the rhythm down a bit so they could engage it, and then it becomes some validation. Those others that are our regulars made it simpler for them, because many times they end up with a headache because they're straining and trying to hear. So all we did was juice up the volume a bit so that they could have an easier time hearing, or not having the stretch to focus on what the words are.
They're supposed to post on the hazard site the words.
Yeah.
Any comments among various people who are listening? What did they think?
I enjoyed the interaction with Carolyn, to be able to flow through just the whole tangents of the stories. They liked those. They liked that. It was a refreshing thing to give the paragraph and an answer and a question and a paragraph. And they enjoyed that for this show, that it was very, very simple and flowing. It was more of an interview rather than a squeezing the lemon session. And then their ESP world, if they haven't been practicing a bit, you know, you can sort of get it pretty tangled up.
If they haven't been practicing, you can,
right.
Your ESP will be...
It would be difficult to follow the last little bit.
So we had a simple flow for them to follow.
To begin with, to get their feet wet, that's right.
How did Sheila and these people respond?
You'll see.
Okay.
We can't speak for them, because we can speak, and then they get all cross-faced with it. When it shows up, you wrote the little words down, and they start writing the little words down, and those start syncing up and discussing it amongst themselves, even stories of what they came up with. If you want us to, we'll post it out so that they can say, see, and have the opportunity to post what they saw, discuss it, and then run that back to you, and you validate it. Yes, this was a word, the fifth word, the second word, and on and on and on and on and on.
That's good.
That'll be great fun. Very good.
Okay, here's a question I didn't understand. Halliburton had a contract with this oil drilling?
Yeah.
What was the stipulation to fulfill?
They hired Halliburton to make the pour.
To make the pour?
Concrete pour.
To pour concrete. Did they do that?
Yes, they did.
And that somehow affected the pipes?
Well, the curing 20 hours after they finished, it blew up.
After they did the pouring?
Yeah.
Was that going to get Halliburton in trouble?
Yeah.
They did a faulty job of pouring?
No, they actually didn't do a faulty job of pouring. But it's just odd that pouring took place in the heat exchange from that pour with other issues with pipes and the drilling and the whole rig that the heat exchange from this pour caused the thing to blow up.
The heat from the friction of the cement?
Friction is the cement drying causes heat. Remember when they poured the Hoover Dam, they had to do it in sections and run coal pipes through it?
To keep the heat down.
Yeah, because when your concrete's curing, drying, getting hard, it releases a tremendous amount of heat.
Did Halliburton miscalculate about the number of cement that would create a certain amount of heat?
No, what was miscalculated was the busting of pipes in the new cement pour.
The busting of pipes? So the pipe that broke was part of the cement pouring apparatus?
No, the cement pouring was around the pipes they were using.
Why do you return to that statement?
The pipe broke. The heat from the concrete drying sparked it and set it on fire.
The pipe broke is the first action.
Yeah.
Why did it break?
Those safety codes were not honored in the rig. The reason they were pouring, doing the cement pour, is they were trying to update this old rig.
Whose fault about the regulations? You just implied something.
I guess that'd be the EPA, but whatever.
Not Halliburton?
No.
So Halliburton pours cement in a pipe.
Around a pipe.
Oh, around the pipe. And the pipe broke?
Yes.
And it's inside the cement, but it hadn't dried, so it blew the cement out.
No. The heat from the drying cement set the oil, which is very, very, very flammable, on fire.
The oil is going through the pipe?
You hope it does.
So the cement is put around the pipe, it creates heat, which then heats the oil, and it blows up, burns.
Pretty much. It's not exactly what it was, but it's real easy to do it that way, yes.
Just explain it that way. So what was the factor that caused this that they didn't anticipate?
The pipe giving way to break.
And it had nothing to do with the heat of the cement.
Well, the heat's what set it on fire, but that's not what caused the rig to go down.
The pipe went down, it collapsed?
The whole rig burned down.
Did it? Because of the oil that blew up that was on fire.
Yes, very hot, melting metal.
That was made hot by oil burning.
Yes.
And the metal was the pipe around it.
Yes.
So it melted the pipe and it collapsed the rig. Were any men on it? So people were killed?
No, I think they got them all off.
How could they if it's collapsing? Did it slowly collapse?
Yeah, when you burn iron, it takes a little while.
So they saw it happening and they got off.
The world was on fire, Bob. It was blowing fire out of the sky.
Yeah. Did any news people get pictures of that?
Yes.
They're pouring the pipe stuff in, and that causes heat, which heats the oil, which turns on fire, which melts the pipe and collapses the pipe.
Melts the rig as well.
So 5 miles of pipe collapsed.
Or more, yes.
Okay, well, that's quite interesting.
Therefore, we are wonderfully, deliciously happy and enjoying the great appreciation from all of our faithful listeners, welcoming our new ones. Be easy with all this. It was a fun, super show as Bob enjoyed a delicious dinner. And we had a nice engagement with all of you. And we thank you all so very much for your kind participation. We are complete.
Now, let me explain something here. I'm going to play JW's impressions or whatever happened. Now, what's going to come out of this, JW has a sore head. Because early in the day, he went to fix something up in the attic, and his boys told him there was a problem. He goes up there, and he was told he did fix it, and he didn't recall fixing it. So he goes up to see how he could have fixed this thing at the top of the attic. The boys tell him, when you stood here and you stood there, and it's some kind of bunting or something that you can't stand on. But they watch their father stand on it and crawl up the side of the wall like Spider-Man and fix the attic. So J.W. is looking at this. He can't believe that he did this. He doesn't even remember doing it. He gets the ladder and he goes up and look at what he did, and he falls off the ladder and bangs his head, almost goes through the ceiling. So this whole story is going to be spelled out in the next couple minutes. This is not Ion talking, this is J.W., and we're asking about how he feels because we heard about this from Ion. Listen to this. This is J.W. got possessed by Ion, and he did impossible things, and his sons witnessed it, and J.W. didn't believe it. Okay.
Hooray.
Hooray. What feelings and images or whatever you get?
The biggest feeling I get is a sore head.
Oh, you fell off the ladder.
So you banged your head. Is it scraped?
Yeah, there's a little goose egg, and it's not a rib, but I guess it's below the sternum. There's a big mark there.
Where's the sternum, Carolyn?
Oh, the chest bone.
Right, so you sort of went down front forward going down.
The children said I did it on my head.
Wow.
Hit the beam holding up the roof.
Jeez.
And the rafters, see, there's no nothing between. The ceiling is attached to the bottom of the rafters. So then I hit my chest, which if I had been on my side, it probably got a rib. But if it was flush on, it's just a little mark. And then a little bit hit on the knee. But that's better. I mean, it's just sore. It's not like pain.
Do you keep arnica around the house?
We have gallons of arnica.
Did they slather you down with it?
They did, and we did. I didn't have enough ice packs to do all of it when it happened. So we did peas and corn and okra and those frozen things for imitation ice packs. And so that worked great, but we did that pretty fast once they got me out of the attic.
What caused you to fall? I didn't hear that.
Oh, they were telling me that there was this huge thing in the attic that I had gone up and repaired. And I didn't go and repair nothing. So I went up to see what was going on. And I go and look, and I couldn't see. Everything was the way it was supposed to be. And so my oldest came up and said, this big pipe was laying over here. And I said, it's impossible. How would it get back if that was over there? He said, well, you came up and you went right here, and you were like up in the top of the ceiling, propped up against almost nothing, and you put this great big 2.5-foot pipe back on the top of the air handler, which would have been 12 feet above the floor of the attic. I guess I'm pretty smart, but how do you get 12 foot up in the air?
Wow.
And he said, well, you just went 1 foot here, 1 foot here. And I said, there's nothing to put your foot on. He said, the great big pipe here. I said, if that's the pipe that was to be reattached, how can you stand on the pipe that you're reattaching when it's flexible? It's like, you can't do that. He said, well, you did. So I couldn't even see how it would attach or where it was. So,
well, do you remember us telling you that when you were doing a quick session with us about our silly computers, that Ion told us that, you know, we asked something about JW okay, and he said, oh, he's up in the attic fixing the air conditioner. He told us.
Okay. Cool. Well, I went up to see because they were telling me that I had been doing all this stuff, and it was like, okay. So we go get the ladder. There's no place to put the ladder because the beams in the attic, you see, you don't have a floor to put the ladder on. So I lined it up between the rafters so it bounced and thought, okay, now I can climb up the ladder, see what in the world actually is going on here, and make sure that it's okay. Well, I did, and I looked at it, and it was like I got way, way up there, and it was all cool. And then I start to take a step down, and then the ladder gives way, goes through the ceiling, the tower. The ladder falls, I fall, my head hits the beam coming down that's holding the roof up, and then I land between the rafters. That's where it bounced. Otherwise, I'd have went through the ceiling. You know, if you fall between Lincoln, and then the little one was diving, trying to get up there to see what it was. It sounded like the house was coming down. Mm-hmm. What's that mean? He was diving where in relation to you? Climbing up the stairs as quickly as he could to come and see what in the world had happened.
He was down in the kitchen area.
No, he was upstairs. This was upstairs, above the upstairs, Bob.
He was right there.
This is an incredible story. I remember we were talking earlier in the day to Ion, and he said JW was up fixing the attic. Now, this is a couple days after May 5th when we started to hear about the two JWs. I'm realizing now that that was a second JW that Ion was speaking through to us and saying the other JW was up fixing the attic. And the other JW didn't know he was up there fixing the attic. And when he found out that he did, he goes up and looks at it, and he collapses off the ladder, busts his head. Yet the boys saw him climb up the wall like Spider-Man. Now, isn't that neat? What a story. Amazing, amazing stuff here at Dobstown. Believe it or not, Ripley's, believe it or not. Okay, so we will continue with the story.
So when he heard the boom, he came up into the attic to see what he could do to help. And then they were trying to get me up, and then, of course, then Marie comes running and to see what she can do. And then they kind of get me up and get me around and get me out. Then we go.
So you were almost killed. You would be pretty badly hurt.
Teacher. All right, I survived. It's good contrast. I gotta have a little contrast. Gotta have something to get sick on, you know, every now and then.
The amazing thing is that Ion stressed these kids that their mind was for a reason to are putting into logic, but your body was stressed beyond its capability.
Absolutely. There's no way.
I mean, this is a good story to tell. I won't maybe go into all the details, but am I right to say that the kids hallucinated into normal proportions what you were doing? Because they couldn't believe you were stretching beyond your proportions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They fit into normalcy. But you come out and say, there's no way I could have done anything you said.
Yeah, because you can't stand on a flexible pipe to get up to put the pipe back on. You can't stand on ductwork to attach ductwork.
Okay, so that means you were floating. You were actually levitating. It's a phenomenal Superman effort that was going on.
Apparently.
That's quite a story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was just odd because this is all about a disconnection, apparently.
Yeah, caused by Carolyn when she lost her hearing aid.
Yeah, I am blamed.
Bob blamed.
Bob dropping my computer trying to find my hearing aid was why the purple computer got disconnected and blew up yesterday.
You mean white computer that's already purple?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. How do you know that? You can see that in your mind's eye.
Let's be clear.
Yeah, you can see that in your mind's eye.
Yeah.